Open your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Mark, the 11th chapter. Mark chapter 11, and we'll read verses 22 to 24 as our introduction for the Bible study this morning, as we actually close a series of messages that we've been talking and we've entitled and shared with you over the last several weeks, talking about the faith that sees the glory. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to the study of the Word today, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who is our teacher, who is here to open the eyes of our understanding, to enlighten us, to give us hope, and to give us faith. We believe in you today, Father, and I pray that over the course of these minutes this morning, you would stir our heart to expectancy, to excitement, and to believe in you. Thank you, Father, for your presence with us today. We believe we will be encouraged before we leave here today, and we will know the joy of the Lord, the excitement of the presence of God. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark 11, beginning in verse 22, Jesus has already at this point in Mark's gospel, he has entered Jerusalem in what we call the triumphal entry. We're looking at the last teachings of the Lord before he will be crucified in just a short period of time now. And he is teaching in the temple at Jerusalem. Verse 15 tells us there that he goes in and casts out the money changers, and all of that takes place. He overthrows the tables and all of these kinds of things. Then in verse 19, it tells us when evening came, he would go out of the city. So Jesus goes out of the city, spends the evenings outside of the city, and during the daytime, he's coming back into the city and teaching in the city. As he comes back to the city on this particular day, Peter sees a fig tree that Jesus has cursed and that has withered from the roots up, and it's died because of the word of the Lord. And by the power of his word, Jesus curses this fig tree and it dies. Peter sees it. He's reminded of it. He says, Jesus, look at the fig tree. And Jesus responds this way. Verse 22. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. And therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you. Notice the emphasis that Jesus puts on faith. And I want you to see here again, as we shared with you last week, that faith is ultimately, we're going to find out once again, it's our responsibility. Now, understand what I mean when I say that. What I'm talking about there is not that you and I are going to be able to create faith. That's not what I'm saying. I am saying we are to position ourselves to where we can believe, and when we hear the word of the Lord, we need to make the choice to believe. But please understand, you and I cannot create faith on our own. There's a lot of teaching in faith churches today about mind over matter kind of approach to faith and that kind of thing. Understand that faith comes when the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Jesus, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 12, is the author and finisher of our faith. Faith comes from the Lord. What I'm going to be sharing with you this morning, though, when we get to the core of the message, is that you and I can position ourselves to receive that faith. You and I can position ourselves, be in a place where faith will come, and we can walk in it, and we can see the kinds of things that we've been talking about over the last few weeks as we've looked at some examples of what faith really looks like, and then what faith can do, or what faith releases into our lives. I think it's important for us to go back again and make this point as well, that faith is not a tool that we use to try to get something from God. A lot of people try to manipulate God with faith and get what they want and that kind of thing. Faith is not a tool to manipulate God. Faith is not a tool that we can use to force God to do our will. Okay? Faith is not about doing our will. Faith is about doing God's will. Faith comes when we hear the Lord tell us what He wants to do in our life, And when we receive that faith and believe it and act upon it, then God does what he said he wanted to do in our life. Again, it's very important that you understand. We don't use faith to manipulate God. We don't use faith to get what we want from God. We don't use faith to control God. That doesn't work. God's God and you're not. And he won't be controlled by you or by me. And he never has obligated himself to do our will. But guess what? He has obligated himself to do his will. To do his will for us. And if we'll discover that, fall in line with it, believe it, we'll begin to see God do things in our life. So we begin looking at some real pictures of faith. And again, we've talked about faith, not a tool. Faith is a lifestyle. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Faith isn't something that we use for a while and put away. Man, just so much. A lot of Christians seem to think maybe it is. On Sunday morning, we get our good clothes on. We get ourselves all fixed up. We pull our faith off the shelf and put it in our pocket, and off we go to church. And we get home from church, and we take off the nice clothes. We take out our faith. We put it back on the shelf and leave it there till next Sunday. No. Faith, listen, brother and sister, faith is something that becomes a part of who we are. The very fabric of our lives, and we live by it day by day by day. Okay? The just shall live by faith. Now, we've looked at some examples over the last couple of weeks of what that kind of faith looks like and what that kind of faith can produce in our lives. Because what we've discovered is that faith taps us in. It connects us to the spiritual realm, to the heavenly realm, to God. Faith connects us to God and to his grace and becomes the conduit through which God's power comes into our life to affect our lives and do and accomplish God's will. We talked about it, I think we did anyway, about all these instruments we've got back here. And every one of these instruments, almost every one of them, has a power cord attached to it. Because they're all, almost all of them are electric instruments, okay? And as long as we've got those power cords plugged into the wall, then the power will flow through that cord to that instrument and we can get all kind of noise out of it, okay? But if we unplug it, we don't have the power source, and they can't do what they ought to do. Faith is that plug that plugs us into the grace of God so that his power can flow into our lives so that we can be what God wants us to be and do what God wants us to do. Brother and sister, if we're not plugged into God, we're likely not doing the will of God. And we're probably not doing what we're doing in the strength of God because we're not plugged into God. And there's no flow of his power and his grace. And how many of you know, by the way, it's not enough for us to just do the will of God. We're to do the will of God by the power of God for the glory of God. It has nothing to do with us. We are nothing more than conduits in the hands of God, instruments in the hands of God to accomplish his purposes in the earth. Now, back to the story. We've looked at several examples over the last few weeks. I want to look at one more this morning and then talk about what we can do to position ourselves to have the kind of faith that we see demonstrated in the Bible and experience the things that the people experienced in the Bible. We've looked at several stories. We've looked at the story of the woman with the bleeding disorder. She had it for 12 years. Who came to Jesus and after hearing about Jesus, came up in the crowd behind him, touched the hem of his garment. For she said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I will get well. No doubt, she is convinced, she believes it's going to happen, and lo and behold, when she lays hold of the hem of that garment, she is healed miraculously by the Lord. Jairus is a synagogue official whose daughter is at home sick and about to die, and she's about 12 years old, just a child. And he comes to Jesus, and we saw the picture of a man, and this is a picture of faith, of a man who is willing to give up everything to get to Jesus. Too many times you and I are trying to hold back from the Lord. We're trying to keep back from God. We're not giving up everything for the Lord. And he was willing to sacrifice everything to get to Jesus so that he could do what he needed to do for his daughter. And he said, if you'll come home and lay your hands on my daughter, she will get well. No question about it in his mind. He believes God has revealed something to this man about Jesus. And in that revelation, faith came. And in that faith, healing came and his daughter was made whole. So we've looked at these examples. Last week we saw Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10 and the blind beggar who refused to be denied by the crowd. Something about people. People are fickle. How many of you know people are fickle today? We're all fickle. You can't follow people. You can't listen to people. You have to be careful what you listen to when you're listening to people. Because one minute they'll tell you to shut up, and then the next minute they'll try to encourage you to come on, let's go. Just ask Jesus about fickle people. One minute they're praising him. The next minute they're crying, crucify him. People are fickle. That's why you and I can't follow people. We've got to follow God. And we've got to listen to the Word of God. And if any voice comes to us that's contrary to the Word of God, when God has spoken to your heart about what He wants to do in your life, if any other voice comes to you saying any other thing, we need to just reject it and turn away from it and not listen to it and not follow it. Because I'll show you in just a little while, people are one of the great tools of the enemy to rob us of faith and what God wants to do in our lives. That's what they tried to do with Bartimaeus. Shut up. Sit down. Don't bother the master. But Bartimaeus kept yelling. He kept calling to Jesus. Master, have mercy on me, son of David. And his faith stopped Jesus in his tracks. Jesus called him over and opened the eyes of a man born blind and gave him his miracle. Guys, I'm just saying nothing is impossible with God. And I'm not standing here this morning trying to tell you what God's going to do in your life. But what I am trying to say is this. I'm trying to say nothing is impossible with God. God can open blind eyes. God can heal any disease. God can fix any financial trouble. He can restore any marriage. He can save any soul. He can deliver any alcoholic. God can do anything because nothing is impossible with God. But you and I have a responsibility, and that's to trust and believe in the Lord and have an expectation of what God can do in our lives to see these things happen. So we're trying to stir some expectation in our hearts. I want to show you one more example quickly this morning, if I might, from the Gospel of Matthew and the 15th chapter. And this is a story of a woman who is not a Jewish woman. Now, you understand, in the day and time in which Jesus lived, there was great animosity between the Jews and anybody else. If you weren't Jewish, you were an enemy to the Jews. There were Jews and there were Gentiles and there's Samaritans who were mixed breeds, but the Jews saw everybody who wasn't a Jew as an inferior person. There's great animosity between the cultures and the races back in the day. Here's a woman who is a Gentile who comes to Jesus. Now, as a Gentile, she's not a part of that covenant family of Israel, okay? But she still comes to Jesus with a need in her life. And the story is recorded for us in Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. This is going to be on the western part of Israel, close to the Mediterranean Sea coast, the northwest of Israel there. And Jesus is pulling away a little bit there, getting away a little bit. It says in verse 22, a Canaanite woman, again, this means a Greek woman, a Gentile woman from that particular region, a Gentile woman, no covenant with God. She came out and began to cry out saying, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David, my daughter is cruelly demon possessed. So here's another person who has a child that is suffering great anxiety, great conflict, demonic possession in this case, and another parent who needs help for a child. Well, I'll tell you, the Bible tells us that children are a blessing from the Lord. But I want to tell you, raising children can be a difficult, difficult thing. Because as wonderful as they are, stuff is just going to happen to them in life. And as a parent, and all of you who are parents know this, as a parent, you would much, much rather something be happening to you than one of your children. I mean, it hurts so much, and a lot of times there's nothing you can do but just stand and watch and pray. And it's difficult. And so here's a woman who comes to Jesus with a child in need. Notice Jesus' response in verse 23, but he did not answer her a word. How rude is that of the Son of God? Not to answer this woman when she cries out. What's happening in this story is that her faith is simply being tested. Can I just say to you today, brother and sister, that when we don't get immediate answers to prayer, that's not an excuse, it's not an opportunity to quit believing God. It's not an opportunity to cast aside our faith, okay? When God has spoken to us, when we know what God wants to do in our life, we need to hold on to faith and keep on believing no matter what anybody else says, no matter what other circumstances take place. Whether we see God answer immediately or not, all of that's irrelevant. If God has spoken, we are to hold on to the word. Remember Jairus again. Jairus, before Jesus could get to Jairus' house, messengers came from Jairus' house and said, "Dude, it's too late. Your daughter's dead." And Jesus turns to Jairus and he said, look, you came to me believing. Don't stop believing now. And the point of the story is that even when it looks like it's too late to us, it's never too late for God. God's timing and our timing are almost, I can almost guarantee you, totally different. We think instantly is when things ought to be done. But God always has a perfect time and a perfect way. And if we keep believing, we will see His perfect will. But we have to keep believing. And so this woman's faith is being tested. When Jesus doesn't respond right away, it's simply a faith test. Does she have the kind of faith that won't quit? Does she have the kind of faith that won't be denied, that won't give up? Or is she going to throw in the towel, turn away, and go home? And so Jesus doesn't answer her, and her faith is simply being tested. And it goes on in verse 23. His disciples came and implored her, saying, "Send her away, because she keeps shouting at us." So the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Make the woman shut up. Send her home. Get her out of our face. We're tired of it." But she won't back down. She won't quit. She won't give up, because she knows what she knows, what she knows in her heart. This is the Son of David. This is Messiah. He can deliver my daughter if I will just keep believing. He finally answers the woman and he says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," where the tests keep coming. The tests keep coming. She's not of the house of Israel. She's a Gentile. Once again, her faith is merely being tested. Do you believe that God will even do for you what He will do for the covenant children of Israel? She holds on to her faith. Look at her reply. She came and began to bow down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." And there's so much here, we don't have time to unravel it here today. But Jesus is, in a sense, referring to the woman as a dog. How insulting of the Son of God to refer to her that way. Back in the day, the Jews did refer to Gentiles as dogs. Gentiles were second-rate citizens. But once again, Jesus is challenging this woman and challenging her and testing her on the level, listen, testing her on the level of her pride or humility. How many of you know the Bible says that God gives grace to the humble? He resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so here's the test of this woman's attitude of heart. Is she going to be a prideful woman or is she going to be a humble woman? It's not right to take what belongs to the children of Israel and give it to you dogs. It's a test of her heart. Once again, verse 27, she passes the test. "Yes, Lord." "So be it. If that's what you say I am, so be it. Nevertheless, even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Doesn't take much, God. Just a crumb will heal my daughter. "And Jesus said to the woman, O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed at once." Once again, we see the power of God released into a person's life through the conduit of that individual's faith to perform a miracle in their life. Here's what I'm saying to you today, guys, is that faith in Jesus opens heaven to us. We gain access to heaven. Heaven becomes our home. We become saved. We become born again. But now we have access to the power of heaven to not only work in the eternity future, but in the present of our lives in the here and now. It affects the quality even of this life, to move mountains, to answer prayer, to heal disease, to give strength to the weary, to help us overcome tests and trials, to defeat temptation and sin. All of these things are possible when we live by faith in Jesus day to day. No wonder St. John says in 1 John 5, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Jesus has told us in verse 22, anybody can have this kind of faith. I shared with you last week the testimony of an individual in a church that I went to years ago who's saying, well, that's wonderful, it all sounds great. It's just too bad none of us can have this kind of faith. Oh, the Bible doesn't say that. Sometimes our culture says that. Sometimes religion says that. The Bible doesn't say that. Jesus said, whosoever will believe can be born again. Paul says in Romans chapter 11, he says, whosoever will believe will not be disappointed. Faith is for whosoever. It's not for a select few. Jesus didn't say in Mark chapter 11 there, he didn't say, now Peter and James, have faith in God. The rest of you guys, just grit your teeth and bear it. It's going to get tough. No, he's talking to all of them and he said, have faith in God. And watch what God will do in your life if you'll dare to believe in God. Our God is an amazing God. You know, the Bible tells us that he's no respecter of persons. If you and I will make the decision, we're going to draw near to God and we're going to trust and believe our God. Our God is an amazing God. He's for us and not against us. He's on our side. He loves us in ways we can't possibly imagine. And he wants so much to be actively involved in our lives. So how do we get to this, to the place where we can experience and have this kind of faith? I want you to look with me at Romans chapter 10. We quote this scripture all the time. I want to share it with you in its context in Romans chapter 10. The secret to having real Bible faith in God. Listen, don't miss this. Here's the secret. The secret to having real Bible faith in God is this. There is no secret. There is no secret. It's right here in front of us for the world to see. It's just a matter of us reading the Bible and finding out how. It's up to us to do that, to find out how. There's no secret to this. Anybody can do it. Any one of us can do it. If you read the lives of these guys that followed Jesus around, you understand what kind of flakes Jesus had to deal with for 3 years before he finally went away and gave them the Holy Spirit and they went out on their own. James and John were just, I picture these guys as just kind of brawler types, you know. Sons of Thunder was their nickname. You can imagine what kind of, they said one day, Jesus, we're watching people, they're not doing the kind of thing you ought to be doing, Jesus. Should we call fire down out of heaven, just consume them all? Let's get rid of them, Jesus. And Peter, bless his heart, he couldn't keep his foot out of his mouth. And these were the people that Jesus handpicked to take the gospel to the world. And the reason they were successful is because he gave them the Holy Spirit. And guess what? The same Holy Spirit that he gave to them, he gives to you and me. So that the same works they did, you and I can do. And the same faith that they had, you and I can have. And Jesus said, have faith in God. And if you live by that faith, you'll see mountains move. You'll see prayers answered. You'll see the power of God respond. When you live by faith, Romans chapter 10, let me start in verse 9. Paul writes and says, and these are familiar scriptures to you probably, he says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For from the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. There it is. For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, same Lord as Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him. He says, anybody can do this. Anybody can believe. Anybody, Jew, Gentile, doesn't matter. If you'll just make the decision. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Verse 14, how then, watch this, how then will they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how can they believe in him whom they've not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? In other words, here's the thing. Even though everybody might hear the word, only those who make the choice to believe the word will receive the promise from the word. I want you to see again the personal responsibility that every one of us have to be a people of faith. And he concludes by saying in verse 17, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Let me give you his reasoning here. Here's what Paul is saying in this passage of scripture. He says, first of all, by believing in the Lord and confessing him as your Lord and Savior, you can be saved. Number two, anybody can do this. Anybody can believe. Anybody can make the confession and believe in Jesus. Number three, before you can believe, you got to hear. That makes sense, doesn't it? In order to believe in something, you got to hear about that thing. When you hear about it, now you can make a choice whether or not you're going to believe. Okay? Before you can believe, you've got to hear. So, somebody's got to go tell. Brother and sister, this is why you and I need to go into all the world and preach the gospel. People can't make a decision for Jesus until they've heard about Jesus, and it's our responsibility to tell them about Jesus so they can hear about Jesus, so they can choose to believe in Jesus. This is not too hard for you, is it? This is pretty simple, basic stuff. Okay? Now look at what he says. For the opportunity to believe comes when people hear. Conclusion, therefore, faith comes by hearing. No great secret. You just need to hear about God. You just need to hear what he can do. You just need to hear the promises. You just need to know what the Bible says. You just need to know what the Spirit wants for your life. You just need to listen to God. Faith will come. Faith will come. It comes by hearing.
Think about it in the context of your own salvation.
Somehow, at some point, some way, somebody told you about Jesus. Okay? Maybe you're like me. Maybe you were raised in church. I was raised in church. We were in church every Sunday. Knew all the Bible stories as a kid. Heard the gospel message years and years and years ago. Heard the good news. Or maybe a neighbor told you. Maybe a neighbor took you to a rally somewhere or just witnessed to you, or a coworker, or somebody somewhere told you about Jesus. Now watch this. At some point, after hearing about Jesus, after gaining knowledge of who Jesus is, and watch, this is the clincher. This really is the clincher right here. At some point, the Holy Spirit enlightened you to the truth of what you have heard. Let me just share my story real quickly with you. Again, raised in church, knew the stories of Jesus as a child and growing up, all these kind of things. In 1974, I'm riding down the road, and I'm raised in church, and I've been to Bible studies and all this kind of stuff. In 1974, I'm riding down the road, and I'm thinking, back in those days, the second coming of the Lord was the big teaching in the church, in the community of those days. Jesus is coming back. And so I'd been studying these things, and I believed, and I do today, that Jesus could come back at any minute. Riding down the road, knowing all of these things from years and years and years past, and hearing the message of the coming of the Lord, riding down the road one day, the Holy Spirit made it real to me that I was not ready if Jesus were to come back in that moment. The Holy Spirit enlightened me to my spiritual condition that I was lost and going to miss out on eternity if I didn't choose Christ as my Savior. In that moment, please hear this, in that moment of enlightenment, in that moment of revelation, in that what somebody called the aha moment, the light comes on. You realize something. In that moment, friend, that is the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. He is the one who enlightens you to the truth. Knowledge of the facts doesn't get you to heaven, brother. So I knew the facts. I knew the facts. But I didn't know the truth, at least about myself, that I was about to miss out on everything. In that moment in 1974, when it dawned on me who Jesus was and how much I needed him, that was the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to me, enlightening me, giving me faith, and giving me the choice to believe. And in that moment, I made the decision to receive Christ as my Lord and Savior and get born again. It is when the Holy Spirit enlightens us concerning the truth of the Word of God, it is in that moment of enlightenment that we've heard the voice of the Holy Spirit that faith comes, and we have the choice and must make the decision to believe. This ministry is a ministry that was born out of faith. This ministry is a ministry that was born out of a period of faith and seeking the Lord and hearing the voice of God. In the fall, I thought somebody's paging me for 3 minutes. Thought we were hearing the voice of the Lord there for a moment. Loud and clear, Lord. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. This ministry. In the fall of 1987, I'm praying and seeking the heart of the Lord for my future. God, what do you want for my life? What do you want me to do? What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to serve you? What am I supposed to do to take care of my family? And I'll be real honest with you. I was thinking about something other than what God wanted for my life in those days. But again, brother and sister, remember that faith is not a tool to get God to do your will for you. Faith means hearing the voice of God and believing that God will do what He says He wants to do in your life. And I'm praying and I'm asking God, God, what do you want for my life? What am I supposed to be doing for you? And as I'm praying, and again, my mind is going another direction, 1,000 miles an hour. And in my heart, I hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. I hear these three words: victory, Christian, fellowship. And I knew immediately God wanted me to start a church. God wanted me to start all over, plant a new church, begin again. It wasn't what I wanted, but it was the will of the Lord. And because we believed that God was speaking to us, we began to step out and do what we believe God wanted us to do. And we've been here for almost 30 years now. 30 years. Be 30 years next year, won't it? 88. Yeah. The point is that faith came when the Holy Spirit spoke and we heard the Word of God. Many years ago when we first started hearing the message of faith and realizing that God wanted to be involved in our lives today, that believing in Jesus and going to heaven is the ultimate and the greatest thing God can ever do for you. But God doesn't just leave us on this earth to kind of grit our teeth and hope we make it to the end and then welcome us to heaven. But God comes to us when we believe and have faith. And God wants to be actively involved in our lives today if we'll trust in Him. And God can do awesome things today. We begin to hear this message of faith and that God is real and God is alive and God can do anything. We begin to expect God to do some stuff in our life. We've shared the story so many times with you, but let me just do it again real quickly. We shared the story about Sean when he was only about 2 or 3 years old. Sean would get this seasonal allergy croup cough and just all kind of drainage and a deep hoarse cough, and his throat would swell up, and sometimes it'd get so severe he almost couldn't breathe and this kind of thing. And we go to the doctor and we get the medicines and all that's good and all that's great. And we noticed this thing started happening to Sean. He's only 2 or 3 years old. And it started happening, man, every time the seasons changed, this would happen. And Sean would cough and he almost couldn't, gasping for breath. And we're rushing to the doctor. And, you know, again, I share with you children, right? God bless them. And we begin to hear this message of faith and what God can do. And we went through this several seasons with Sean and his cough. And One particular year, and we went to the doctor. Doctor, he says, you know, we'll treat this, it'll be fine. He said, he'll outgrow this by the time he's maybe about 9 or 10 years old. He's only, what, 3, 4 years old, whatever. 9 or 10, are you kidding? We're going to do this 4 times a year till he's 10 years old. Are you kidding me? So we began to pray and we began to believe God. We began to hear the message of faith. And one season, as the season was changing, I heard Sean one night begin to cough in the bedroom. And I thought, my God, here we go again. The croup is back again. I heard God say, now you may think I'm nuts, and I don't care, but I heard God say, go lay your hands on your son and pray, and I'll heal your son. And I went across the hall into his bedroom, and I laid my hand on him, and I prayed, and I asked God to heal him. Sean coughed a couple more times, rolled over and went to sleep, and never had the croup since. Now you can say, oh, I don't believe that stuff. That's fine. You don't have to believe me. I'm just telling you, my son was healed. In 1984, Becky came to me and said, we got 2 sons by 1984. They're 9 and 6 or 7 years old those days. Becky came to me and she says, it'd be nice to have a daughter. Oh, God. A daughter. You want to have a daughter? I said, well, that sounds like a 50-50 chance to me, but, you know, let's pray about it. A daughter. And she didn't say, I'd like another child. She said, I want a daughter. I think she had 2 boys. That was enough. She said, I want a daughter. So I said, well, we need to pray about it because I hadn't heard anything from God on that. We went to the Lord in prayer. We began to pray. God, would you be pleased to give us another child and to give us a daughter? And we prayed on that for a while. And we waited on God and we went before the Lord and we prayed. And after a season, we became convinced in our hearts that God would give us a daughter. This is 1984. In 1985, Stephanie is born. And God gave us our daughter. Well, I just don't know if I believe that. I don't care. That's okay. Don't believe me. But believe God when he speaks to you. And believe the Bible and what you read in it. Don't put your faith in me. You shouldn't put your faith in me. 10 years ago, February, 10 years ago, Ben calls. He says, Dad, I've been to the doctor. Ben had been having recurring sinus infection symptoms and all these kinds of things. And he'd been on a couple of series of antibiotics. And been through that and kept coming back. And so he finally went to the doctor another time. They decided to run some further tests and do x-rays and all these kinds of things. And on the way home from the doctor, Ben calls and he says, the doctor says I may have, I can't remember what the name of the thing was, but then he said this. He said, but it might be lymphoma. Dad, I might have cancer. I took Ben to his treatments for chemo. And I can remember going to those treatments with him and thinking, you know, this is just so wrong for a parent to be taking their child to these kinds of things. When Ben called and he gave us that message, we began to pray. We began to ask the Lord to heal our son. Now look, God doesn't do everything in a supernatural way. But I believe with all my heart that all healing is ultimately from God anyway. Ben went through the chemo. He went through the radiation. And about 8 months later, the doctor pronounced him completely well.
next month, Ben celebrates 10 years of being cancer-free. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, you and I have a choice to make. We have decisions to make in this lifetime. Are we going to position ourselves to hear God and have the kind of faith that sees the kind of things that God promises to do in the Bible? Or are we just going to go our own way and do our own thing and que sera, sera through life, which is what, unfortunately, so many of us do? I want to tell you today, listen, you and I were created for communion with God. We exist to have fellowship with the Lord. You were created for God to speak to you, to talk to you, and for you to listen to God. Our deal, brother and sister, is that we need to position ourselves to hear the voice of God. Our problem is that we are so stinking busy with life that we don't have time to just sit and listen to the Lord. Two things that we can do to position ourselves to hear from God, because God wants to speak to us. The first one, and again, guys, there's no mystery here. There's no secret here. You already know what you need to do to have faith in the Lord. The two things I want to share with you, prayer and Bible study. No mystery there, is it? But see, we've turned prayer into taking a wish list to God and just, you know, it's almost like, I mean, it's very much like taking our Christmas list to Santa Claus. We got our 12 things that we want, and we take our list and we hope maybe we'll get one of them. That's kind of the way prayer is for us. We take our prayer list to God and we hope, well, maybe we'll get one out of 12. That'll be good. And the point is this, we've turned prayer into a one-way street where we're just telling God what we want and we're never stopping to listen to God to find out what God wants. The psalmist says in Psalm 46 and verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." And we have to get quiet in the presence of the Lord, and we have to sit still and listen for the voice of God. And I promise you, brother and sister, if we will position ourselves to hear from God, God is more anxious to speak to you than you are to hear Him. I'm going to prove that to you in a minute. God wants to speak to you more than you want to hear. When He does and when you hear, faith will come. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of the Lord. The other thing that we can do is Bible study. In Psalm, I got to read this one for you. Look at Psalm, let me read real quickly for you. Psalm 1:1, 2, and 3. Here's the second thing I want to share with you that we can do to position ourselves to hear the voice of the Lord. We have to get before God. We have to get into the presence of the Lord. There's a passage over in Samuel where Samuel is a child. God calls him. He doesn't recognize the voice. And finally, the priest Eli says, "You know what, Samuel, that may be God talking to you. Next time you hear that voice, say this. Say this. Say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Brother and sister, to me that paints a picture of what ought to be the attitude of our heart as children of God. We just draw near to the presence of the Lord. And rather than just rattling, and listen, there's nothing wrong with asking stuff for God. There's certainly a place and a time for that. But rather than that being the sum total of our prayer life, we need to sit before God and just get quiet before God and just say to the Lord ourselves, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I want to hear what you've got to say. God, I got all this stuff I want you to do. But Lord, you know what's really important is, what do you want me to do, God? And what do you want to do for me?" Get quiet before God. Listen to the voice of God. Let God speak to you.
Second thing, study the Word of God. Psalm 1:1, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. This man who meditates the Word of God, who studies the Scriptures and meditates the Word of God day and night, will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, its leaf does not wither, and whatever it does, it prospers. Those promises there, and I haven't got time to talk about all this, but it talks about eternal life, it speaks of great blessing, it speaks of great fruitfulness, and it speaks of eternal life. All of those things are promised to the person who meditates on God and meditates the Word of God. We have allowed in Christianity, we have allowed Eastern religions to steal the concept of meditation to where we think that meditation is something strange. Meditation is perfectly biblical. Meditation is right. The issue where meditation is concerned is, what are you meditating on? And we need to meditate the Scriptures. We need to read the Bible, then we need to meditate. That means let it roll over in your mind. Just let it roll around in your mind. Just let it just keep bouncing off the walls in your brain there. And just keep thinking about it over and over. Didn't mean to insult you. And over again. And just keep your mind settled. Lord, and talk to God about it. Lord, what does this mean? What are you trying to say here, God? What do you want to teach me out of this verse, Lord? And just meditate the Scriptures and let God speak to your heart out of these things. And brother and sister, God wants to speak to us. He wants to speak to us. It's why he promises that this man will be a man of eternal life, a man who is exceedingly fruitful, a man who is greatly prosperous. It's because when we meditate the word, God will speak, faith will come, and blessings will follow. But you see, we have to make the decision. It's our responsibility again to position ourselves through prayer, position ourselves through the meditation and study of the Scriptures, to find out what God is saying, to find out what God wants, to get into the flow of His will so that He can accomplish His purposes in our lives. The question, brother and sister, is this. The question is never, will God speak? The question is, are we listening? Are we listening? I'm going to prove to you right now that we really don't want to hear from God. Now listen, this is amazing if you think about it. Faith unlocks God's power, moves mountains, releases miracle power, heals and restores marriages, delivers our soul, brings provision to our life. Faith unlocks the grace that does all of these things in our life. It comes from hearing God. So if we hear, faith comes and these things will follow. But the truth is, we really don't want to hear from God. Now that sounds absurd on the face of it, doesn't it? But can I prove to you that you don't want to hear from God? We don't want to hear from God because we're afraid of what God's going to say. Because God might say things like, your lifestyle doesn't line up with my word and you need to repent. We don't want to hear that. God might say, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. We don't want to hear that. God might say, getting personal here, God might say, stop numbing your brain with alcohol and start trusting in me. We don't want to hear that. God might say, stop giving lip service to forgiveness and really let offense go and quit trying to punish people for what they did to you. Really forgive them from the heart. We don't want to hear that. God might say, move to another city and serve me there. Don't want to hear that. And on and on and on it goes with the things that we don't want to hear from God. And it keeps us from being open to what... Let me put it to you in these terms, just for shock value, if I might. Get off the computer
Stop looking at the pornography. Stop lusting in your heart. Don't want to hear that. Stop lusting for the things of the world, for the greed. Don't want to hear that. For shock value, let me say it this way. We can either make the decision to listen to God and obey God and hear His voice so that faith comes and all of the things God can do will come with faith. Or we can choose not to listen to God because of all the stuff He may say that He wants to do to change our life that we don't want to hear. And most of the time, we will choose not to listen to God. And in the process, sacrifice the faith that will do and accomplish all of the other things. Are you kidding me? No, I'm not. No, I'm not. It's who we are as human beings. It's what we do as human beings. We make the choice not to listen to God because we're afraid of what He's going to say. Here's what I'm saying to you at this point. The biggest obstacle between you and God, your biggest obstacle between you and miracle faith, your biggest obstacle, you. Your flesh. Your human nature that wants what it wants and does not want to be crucified. Second obstacle, just real quick. Second obstacle, the devil himself. And he'll use anything and everything to try to keep you from God. To try to keep you from having time with God. To try to fill your house. The Bible said, Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And the devil is the thief that wants to rob you of faith and the promises of God and the blessings of the Lord. And so when something goes wrong in your life and you're trying to seek God and trying to find out what God wants, the devil is right there screaming as loud as he can into your head, trying to tell you, you know God doesn't care about you. You know God doesn't have time for you. Your problem is too big even for God. Your problem is too big and you're too small. You're too insignificant for God to waste time on you. You know God's not going to do that for you. And all of these lies that keep coming. And then you got people who will join in and team up with the devil to try to get you to doubt what God's trying you to say. You really believe God gave you a daughter? You really believe God healed your sons? And then on top of all of that, you've got the church. You've got the church with the theology that comes to us today and says, well, God doesn't do that anymore. Really? When did God quit being God? This is where we got to believe what the Bible says instead of what people say. Brother and sister, the whole message is this. Jesus said if we believe, we can see the glory of God in this life and in the world to come. Jesus said, have faith in God. Anybody can do it. Any of us can have the kind of faith that sees the glory of God. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And every one of us can overcome the tests, the struggles, the trials of life. I'm not promising you that He's going to heal every disease and you're going to get every miracle and millions of dollars is coming. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying to you what God speaks into your heart. If you will believe it, no matter what anybody else says, God will bring it to pass. You can have faith in God. You can live the victory that's promised. You can have the faith that sees the glory. Let's pray together. Lord, I put it out there today as I believe You share it in the Word. I pray for the people of Victory Fellowship today, Lord, that they would just have such a heart for You. I pray, Father, that their hearts have been stirred today in such a way that they would seek after You and chase after You. Father, Your Word tells us in Isaiah chapter 64, Your Word says that no one will rise up to lay hold of God. I pray, Father, that that verse would not speak to a single soul at Victory Fellowship, but rather every one of us would rise up to lay hold of God, to lay hold of you, Father, and to lay hold of your promises and to lay hold of everything that you are and everything that you want to do in our life. Father, help us to not be content with anything less, but to seek your heart, to hear your voice, to know your will for our lives. Whatever that might be, God. Whatever you declare it to be. God, help us to be a people Help us to be a people who will make a decision that in this lifetime, a participation trophy is not going to be enough. We want victory. And we believe you've set it before us in your Son Jesus, because you declare in your word that in him all the promises are yes and amen. God, help us to be a people who pursue you to the death, to walk in the fullness of life. Stir our hearts, Father, that we would not be content where we are, with what we're doing, or with who we are. Stir our heart to believe you have more for us by the nature of your presence dwelling within us. Thank you, Lord, for a people who will press in for the mark of the prize of the ultimate and highest call in Christ our Lord. Let's stand together. And as we stand to bring our service to a close this morning, I share just briefly my testimony of that moment in life when the Holy Spirit quickened to me the truth of who Jesus was and my need for him. Let me encourage you today, if you're here this morning, and maybe you're like me, maybe you were raised in church and spent all of your life and you know all the stories, but you've never really made a decision to really give your heart and life to Jesus. Can I encourage you today to make that decision, to seek the Lord concerning that, to let God speak to you, to let the revelation of the Holy Spirit be real in you today of who Jesus is and how much you need him, because he really is the only way to eternal life. He's the only way to salvation and to God. He'll take you there if you believe in him. If you've never done so before today, would you consider giving your heart to Christ today? Scripture says this, today, if you hear his voice, there it is. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart and turn away. Open your heart. Call on the Lord. Receive your salvation. Thank you, Father. Thank you for what you're doing in and each and every one of us today, the difference you're making by your presence and your power and your glory dwelling within us today. Father, thank you for the privilege of sharing the word today and in challenging this congregation concerning living the life of faith, seeing what you can do in our lives if we'll dare to believe in you. And Lord, they've been given a lot to think about today. I pray, Father, they would compare what they've heard here today with what your word says in the Bible. And I pray every one of us would come to believe in you with all of our heart and live faithfully for you every day in a journey of real faith. Father, we're about to go in different directions. But I pray that all of us, going in the variety of ways that we will not go away from your presence. Watch over us and keep us, Lord. Have your way in our lives and accomplish your purpose for your glory until we are together again. We give you praise, Father, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And we sing together to be dismissed. Before we do, let me encourage you, if we can pray with you personally about anything today, we always want to take the opportunity to pray and minister to your personal needs, whether it's for salvation, to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, whether there's something going on at home, something in your family. We continue to pray for Eric Kaplinger and his mom, Larry Gallier, David, and his brother Larry, and all the family are at Myrtle Beach today. Continue to pray for Larry's healing. Ernestine needs our prayers, as others in the church. Give me the details. Okay. Zelma Busey. Yep. Zelma Busey's mom herself has taken a fall. So we want to pray for these people and keep them in your prayers. Pray for these people, and if we can pray for you about the personal needs in your life, speak to us as you're leaving here today. Check with us when we get back if you can wait. If not, Jim is here. Ed and Mary Ann are here. Prayer Warriors for God, they are here. Others in the church family are here, people that can minister to your needs. Give us a call. Let the body of Christ minister to you. Let's sing together as we're dismissed today and pray the blessing of the Lord on your life. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay in your presence day by day, till your likeness may be seen in me. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. Consider the Lord this week.